Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm so excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in and deep dive into our subject today, I'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors, plural. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. The customer service is, I can tell you a story of like, oh geez, maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago where I couldn't get, and it was an older machine. It wasn't one of the newer machines, but I couldn't get it. And they literally sat on the phone with me for almost an hour trying to problem solve. Eventually we got it. Eventually we needed to get a couple pieces kind of sent, but their customer service, and at that point on, they had a customer for life. So go mention Coach Unplugged or Coach Collins or any of us, and they'll give you $400 off for you. I said it right, $400 off your next purchase. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're looking to become a better basketball coach, you're looking to expand, if you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking for resources, teachhoops.com is the answer. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's better than Netflix because it comes with me. It comes with one-on-one calls. It comes with resources and things to make you a better basketball coach. It has everything that you're going to need in one spot. It has the roadmap set up for you so you know to kind of go tackle the things that you need in order to solve your basketball questions. So go over and check it out. It also helps us pay the bills. So go over and check that out. Also, I said this on a couple other podcasts. We'd love if you go over and check out our other podcast, High School Hoops, the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, the Funnel Down Defense Podcast. Go over and check those out. I think you'll love those. We love sharing with the world, and leave a 5-star review. Let's head off to the podcast.
Number one is they'll last about double the time of a Wilson or a Spalding. But two, just the feel of them, man. And I never really use them till we got to the villages, and they became a sponsor of the battle. But it's not about them sponsoring our tournament, or being a co-sponsor of our tournament. Every one of our guys will say the same thing.
And what do you play with in tournament time?
Play with the Wilson, but we play with the Rocks at home until tournament time, and then we play with the Wilson. That's the ball that's
Does it feel a lot different than the Wilson?
Not a lot, but enough, you know. And if we're, you know, if we've got 16 Rocks and we've got 16 Wilsons, if we're playing away that week, you know, we'll practice with the Wilsons. If we're playing at home, we'll practice with the Rocks. We literally switch the racks out. But yeah, definitely the Rock has been, I think it's a phenomenal basketball.
Yeah. The only reason I use a Spalding is because in the most important game of the year, we're going to play with a Spalding. That's literally the only reason.
Yeah.
I like the feeling of a Rock. My son actually was shooting, shoots with a Rock outside all the time. One word to describe your ideal player.
Relentless.
Okay. One thing you would tell a young coach or yourself as a young coach.
You said it earlier. Be true to yourself and feel and do what you feel. Don't get caught up in trying to be a coach. Be yourself coaching basketball or any sport for that matter. Don't get caught up in I need to run this offense or run that defense or teach it this way or play this style or that's not – like you just said, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. And, you know, a lot of teams when they – or a lot of coaches, you know, what I just went through, if you come and watch us, you know, unless you have a trained eye, you might think, well, they're just out there rolling the balls out and letting them play. But when you start guarding 94 feet, it's a lot harder than guarding half of that. And, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into that organized chaos. But as a young
coach – That's what people don't realize, man. Some of the teams that I came at you, they just thought, oh, shoot, Collins got more talent than everybody.
Yeah.
They're just good. Are you kidding me? We spent a lot of time on that. Now, did it look like chaos? Absolutely. Yeah. But it was controlled chaos, trust me.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, I think early on, you know, we got to run the motion. We got to run the flex. We got to play half-court man-to-man. And I was worried about what it looked like. And you know what? At the end of the day – and you know, there's just, like you just said, there's a lot of different ways to do this thing. And, you know, I've got some respect for some guys that play really, really, really slow, and win in the 40s and 50s. And I can't do it.
Do you have a shot clock in Florida?
We do not. There's a big push to
get it.
It's not
happening. It's not happening now. Are you kidding me? There's not going to be no money for schools now.
right. But there was actually next year you're coming to the battle.
Yeah.
And as long as we're able to have it, good Lord willing. But yeah. Charlie Ward coaches at FSU school in Tallahassee. They'll be at the battle. He's got a big push going right now to get it into high school basketball in Florida. He really wants it. And I was actually on our advisory rule committee meeting the other day with the FHSAA, and it was brought up. So the process has started, but you know how that goes.
The problem is I think there's a well, first of all, I think what makes high school basketball really unique is we all play different styles. We play half in Wisconsin.
You play what?
18 minute halves.
Wow. Oh, that's right. I remember.
Would love that, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
The flow of the game. So it makes you play more kids. Yep. Everybody has to come out. I got to rest. Kid can't play 18 minutes. Like no one plays 20 minutes of a half of a high school or of a college game.
Right.
So I got to rest them. So I got to figure out when I can rest them.
Yep.
That innovation to the game, I think at least at the high school level was a good innovation. Made me play more kids, better flow of the game that I'm just not sure. I think if you put the shot clock in everywhere, it's going to be, I'm going to press you or 2-2-1 you and make you take. I just think it's going to be very uniform. I love the differences that you can come at me and I can slow you down. I mean, I won't, but I think that's what makes high school really unique. And if we get rid of that, we're all going to be very similar. You know,
I cannot agree more with you. And really the big push for it down here has been, and I'm sure you've, you know, there's teams that, you know, Orlando Oak Ridge is phenomenal.
Right.
And Orlando Boone is usually really good. But 2 years ago, you know, Oak Ridge had, you know, I mean, they were one of the better teams in the country.
Right.
And Boone was a talented Central Florida team. Boone beat them 10-8.
But how does that happen? How do you not come at them?
Exactly. And that's where I've got a lot of respect. I've got a lot of respect for Steve Reese at Oak Ridge, and he does a great job with those guys. But yeah, like you just said, you know, there's some, you know, well, it's hurting the kids and recruiting the, you know, scouts there to watch them. And, you know, my thing is always, you know, it happened in the district semifinal this year, Crystal River. You know, we were more talented than them. We beat them by, I don't know, 36 or 37 at home earlier in the year. But Coach Irvin did a great job of getting his guys ready, and they came out and got a little bit of a lead, and they went to a delay game. And we were down 14 points with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Right.
But we had to, you know, if we're just going to pack it in and say we're gonna lose, and then that's up to me. But we can't. We made an adjustment, went to a 2-2-1 half trap, which we hadn't done all year. We've done a full court 2-2-1 half trap. But you know, when we went, we went to it to get them out of it, and we sped them up enough. We ended up coming back and winning.
That's my theory too. So here's, this is a stats teacher in me too. The people make all these observations about these games that are like that, that one game, that's one game out of thousands of games in Florida that are not affected by the shot clock. So one game should not affect you. You might beat somebody 122-64 too. We're going to talk about that one too.
Sure. And
here's my issue is this is another, I'm not going to get a shot clock tirade, but with my shot clock is our team's got guys that you give them the ball and there's 8 seconds left in shot clock. They're going to take a decent shot. I'm going to run a set for them. We're going to set. You think about some teams in Florida that have schools of like there's some bad teams. What are they going to do when the shot clock gets below 10? Like, they're literally going to throw the ball over their head. It's going to be horrible. Like, that's the issue is I think they see shot clock. They think they see collegiate. I think they see all this.
Yeah.
I don't know. We have enough hard time to run the clock. Running a shot clock is going to be a whole.
No, that's a whole nother. That's a whole nother. And I agree with you. I think that if you go to a shot clock, you're going to see – Do you guys have shot clock in Wisconsin?
We don't. No, we don't. I fought it hard. It was coming. Well, I fought it hard.
And see, like, the other thing, I think you're right. You're going to see, like, what you see in division, what you see in college basketball, 2-2-1, 1-2-2, not really to press, just to make them take 8 seconds to get the ball up the court so there's less time to run a set.
Right. And so here's what's going to happen. You go to 30, 35 seconds. I'm going to run 2-2-1. I'm going to make you take 8 seconds off. Now you're going to be at 22. We're going to pack it for 15, and then you're going to run a set, which is probably a high ball screen or a wing ball screen. We're going to I mean, I can just see what's going to happen. And it's like, okay, but I don't think we want that. I personally don't want that. I don't know. I sound like
I've been against it. I was against it when they brought – and the other – you know, the other thing –
And you run a system it would work well for. You want speed. Right. You want to get up and down. I do too. I just don't think it's good for the game in that point. I think we should make the court wider, to be honest with you.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I agree with that.
The court's too narrow for these bodies, at least at my level. If you go to one sporting event, what would it be?
Anything
in the world.
University of Florida football in the national championship game.
Okay. Good luck. Someday. Maybe. Favorite pregame meal.
What does she do? Sammy Joe's Pizza. Carol caters all of our food for pregame meals, and she does a baked ziti for our guys that we all love. So baked ziti.
One thing you do to relax.
One thing I do to read.
Okay. One skill not being taught today.
Mid-range. Mid-range game.
One coaching technique you consider important.
We started doing this a few years ago. Statting every single practice with a point system. We have an assistant coach. It's her job to sit in every scrimmage that we do, even the any competitive scrimmage. We give points. You know, twos are worth two, threes are worth three, assists are worth two, defensive rebounds are worth four because we put a big premium on that. Offensive rebounds are worth four, so on and so forth. But by the end of every practice, we know who's done what in a rubric, so that at the end of practice, you can look and say, well, you know. Who did what in practice, not who we thought did what or who we want to do what, but who had the best practice. We keep it. We got a Google sheet that we keep that tabulates it for the week. And it, you know, I tell the parents in our parent meeting beginning of the year for the varsity, and I would love to get it to the JV. It's hard to, we have two coaches.
I mean, I film mine and I feel like, oh crap. I try to go back and watch it. But that's awesome if you have somebody that better can chart it.
Yeah, the statting in real time has been awesome for us. The kids love it. You know, after practice, they're coming in while she's tabulating and figuring out who's got what. If we don't have it done by the time practice gets over, I'll text it on our group chat to them. But I also tell our parents at our parent meeting, like, look, I don't play favorites. I play, you know, numbers don't lie, and I play the guys that are going to help us win. And if you don't, you know, and I tell them all the time, you know, you want to talk about playing time, we're not going to have too many discussions about it. But if you do come in and talk about it, you're going to look at why they're not playing.
Right.
And we apply that same rubric to games. And then we know, you know, who's doing what and who's earned the playing time.
You run a talented and gifted program for basketball players, coach. That's what I tell them. Like, I run a talented and gifted program. I mean, I love this too. It's like, you don't think I'm going to play the best people that I think can help us win. You really don't. Right. You know, I've coached almost 600 basketball games.
Yep.
You know, we've won a lot. You really don't think I'm going to play the best players. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Yeah. I get it. Anyway, yeah. Best basketball player you see?
Oh, Kevin Knox.
Okay.
Kevin Knox.
And where?
Yeah. He's from Tampa Catholic, plays for the New York Knicks now. drubbed us in the Final Four in 2017. He had 40. yeah, so he's
kind of my theory. Like, I always put my NBA guys on that list. It's like, well, yeah. I coach them every day, and they're in the NBA. They're probably on that list. Best player of all time. I think more I watch. First of all, don't spoil it, because I mean I actually lived it, but I haven't watched the last two episodes of Last Dance because I've been doing podcasts. But I never knew he never went to a game seven, and I never knew he never lost when he got there.
Yeah, in the finals. Yeah, I knew it was 6-0.
It's like, well, there you go.
Bill Russell, actually, maybe.
You can put Bill Russell in that discussion. Yeah. You can't put Magic.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, my bias, if that's who I grew up watching, no question. But I'll be honest, I'm from Michigan originally, had a rough life, got to live in Michigan all summer, and got to live in Florida all winter. But I was a bad boy fan, you know, the Pistons, and I did not.
You were that generation. See, I was later Celtics, man.
Lakers Celtics, sure.
You were one or the other. Like, you didn't, like yep. – You didn't. Yep. Like, I was a Laker kid, and then I had friends who were Celtics kids. So it's like, and talk about different styles. Theirs were different styles. Like,
completely.
You know, but that's what you don't see as much in the NBA. It's like, anyway, don't get me started.
Cookie cutter. No, I agree.
Cookie cutter. That's why leave high school the way it is. I love that some states have shot clocks. I love that some states have halves. I love it.
Yeah.
Trust me, it ain't hurting the recruiting. What are you talking about, the recruiting?
Right, I agree.
If you're any good, they're going to find. They're going to watch you in July in Vegas anyway, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And Coach Hodges always, you know, when he starts talking about shot clock, every time he hears shot clock coming into anything or taking time off the shot clock in college, he's like, they're just taking the coaching out of it. You know, it's taking coaching out of it.
Yeah. I know. I sound like the old guy. Get off my porch. Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn.
get off my lawn.
That's what I sound like. But I don't care. Like, I've said this in, like, no lie, 500 pod. Well, I won't. I'll wait until I ask the question. All right. One thing you help become a better
coach. Getting married and having children.
Yeah, that puts it in perspective. That's actually a life lesson. Everyone, when you're old enough, everyone should have kids because it puts life in perspective.
Absolutely.
One thing I would change about the game is I'd get rid of the jump ball.
Jump ball, wow.
First of all, here's why. They're all – the accountant that's working during the day and then come officiates my game can't throw the damn ball up at the beginning of the game.
That's true.
They do it like three times a year. Oh, my God. Just give the damn visiting team the ball and let's go. And then you can do alternating possession.
Or we can shoot for it.
Or shoot for it. I don't care.
Shoot for it.
It's like, why are we throwing the ball up? There was one time – oh, well, first of all, you'll love this. I hope the officials listening to this. We had a foul called on a jump ball. Like, that's how our rival in our league, the guy threw the ball up. My guy jumped to tip it, and he called a foul on my guy.
On the guy jumping?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Never seen it. We lost by three. Never seen it. I go, what are you talking about? He fouled him. He grabbed his arm. I go, no, he didn't. First of all, I said the toss was bad. Second of all, he didn't grab his arm. You made a bad toss.
And I mean, I don't know. I'm like, has the game even started yet?
Because well, as soon as he throws it, I think it has. Can you?
The clock doesn't start until he tips it, right? Till it's touched.
I would think so. I don't know.
I don't know.
So bad. Anyway,
they're so
bad at throwing the ball up, though. Yeah. That's the thing.
You guys have alternating possession, though.
Yeah, everybody has alternating possession, I think. But it's that
I didn't know if you guys were still jumping it. Yeah.
You know, we're not in the – like, let's get rid of that. In the college game, why do we do that? Give the visiting team the ball. Who cares?
I like it.
You become a team, you'll get the ball.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to push for that at the NFSHS or whatever.
I had an official, you just made me think of something. I don't want to get into tirades about officials. That's okay. But I had an official 4 years ago that I spent I checked with the scorers table on the way. Yep, your ball coming out, right? Checked with the book. And so I spent, you know, the first 3.5 minutes of halftime, you know, talking to our guys about settling down, doing what we got. And then I spent the next 2 minutes drawing up the first play because I wanted to get into our press. Mm-hmm. What we're going to run to get our, you know, it was a go-to play. We're going to get a shot here. We're going to score. We're going to set our press and come out. And I'm already, I'm feeling good, you know, and the official gives the ball to the opposing team. And I said, it's our ball. I checked with the book. He said, you had the ball at the end of the first half. He said, you had the ball.
Like, what are you talking about?
We had the ball at the end of the first half. So if we would have handed it to them, then it'd be our ball. You know, if we'd handed it to them, we had it like 90 feet from our basket. Like,
right. What does that mean?
But I mean, I was like,
he was thinking summer AAU ball or something, man.
I went and sat in the middle. I asked some kids to move. I was so mad. Oh, I went and sat in the middle of our bench and just kind of.
Well, I do that. One of those. I'll grab my towel or something so I don't say anything. So you'll love this. This was like Wesley's era. This was like 04, 05. We came out at halftime, and they knew the other team so well that they knew it was our ball. We lined up the wrong way, and they threw the ball, and we got a layup. And the other team looking like, what's going on? It's like, well, we're going that way. You're going that way, but it's our ball. And it was like – they didn't even talk to me about it. It was the best thing I've ever seen. The other team's like freaking out. I go, well, you didn't defend us.
It's not a varsity game
against like, oh, my God. I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. I could do a whole podcast on weird things I've seen.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Best game you've seen in person?
I would say the first one that jumps to mind. We had one this year that would be up. We had a 4 overtime game in the battle against Scheffner Christian this year that we won 117 to 114.
I would definitely. I put my triple overtime to win a state title in that. And the kid in the second overtime, the kid did a Chris Webber. We're down.
Oh wow.
We're down 2 with like 6 seconds to go, and he Chris Webbered it. And then point guard went to the line, hit both free throws. Put it into the third overtime in the state. Yeah. It's crazy. I'll send you the link for that. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I would love to watch that. Yes, sir.
I'll send you the link for like the last 3 minutes. Unbelievable. Okay.
I'd say it goes into
3 or 4 overtimes is crazy.
Yeah. That was the best game that our gym's seen. And we've seen some good ones in there in the last 5 years. The best game that I saw that I wasn't a part of was jumped in my mind was, came back after my freshman year. I was in freshman year in college playing basketball. Came back to watch Leesburg play Orlando Boone. Marlon Bryant, who was a freshman when I was a senior, he was a sophomore that year. He ended up going to USF, and then he played overseas for about 10 or 12 years. But Leesburg beat Boone in like quadruple overtime at home, and Marlon had like 46 or something and was just phenomenal. That was probably the best game I've seen
it's amazing how those games stick with you too. I remember a couple from when I was in middle school. Best coach,
John Wooden.
The wizard, I would say. So one book you'd recommend?
There's two I'd recommend, but one that I brought some slides if you want me to put those up.
Let's talk about those. Let's put them up.
We got time. One would be When the Game Stands Tall. It's about the De La Salle out in California, won like 228 straight football games.
I think I've read that book or I've listened to it. That's a good book.
They made a movie out of it, but I haven't watched the movie. I read the book. I read the book twice. It's just, it's a great book on getting kids to come together for, you know, I don't even know if I'm going to do it justice. It's not about a coach. It's all about the players doing it because the players want to do it and moving it. And I could talk about it, but it's really, but it also details a season of theirs. So it's a chapter on how they built what they're doing. And then it's a chapter on who they're getting ready to play that week. And they're playing like, you know, they weren't playing the, you know, they're playing like Long Beach Poly and they're flying out to play St. Louis and Hawaii. And,
right.
So yeah, pretty cool. But the big, you know, and, you know, their coach, his name is Latticore. The biggest quote of the book that sticks with me is that the championship we win and the banners we can hang on our walls aren't as important as the memories that we're going to hold in our hearts. And the book, I think, either starts or explains how there was all these like banners and these things that were going on the walls. And then there's just like this time where it just, no, like they didn't even have them anymore. And they'd kept winning like state championships because they didn't lose for like 11 years. But like they only had, like there was a state championship banner from the first year, their state championship, but then all of a sudden all of it was just gone because nobody cared about that anymore as much as just being their best. It was just really, well,
that's an
really
awesome impactful. That's an awesome sign. Yeah.
Yeah. Really impactful. Yeah. So that book, but then a book I read about 10 years ago, and then I pulled it off the shelf this year. Actually weird, you know, kind of how coaches' brains think. 4 a.m. I woke up in the morning and went out to my bookshelf, and I got The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team out by Patrick Lencioni. And this is what kind of guided us through this year. We had a group this year that was really talented, but all of them kind of thought that they were the guy, you know? You know, tried to, you know, it talks about what the 5 dysfunctions of a team, of any team, are. And it's written from a business perspective. He's also wrote the 5 temptations of a CEO.
What are the 5? What are generically the 5 dysfunctions?
Let me pull them up.
I'd love to talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing a lot of coaches that are listening to this, that's the issue they have. Was it in? So basically, the two books you listed are two different books. One book is about a team that's building culture.
Yep.
And one's about teams that's struggling to build culture, basically. I love that.
Yeah, and the 5 dysfunctions, it's a parable, so it's really easy to read. It's short. I mean, it's 230 pages, but it's written as a parable. Okay. So the 5 dysfunctions are, as you can see them, they are absence of trust, fear of conflict, vulnerability, lack of commitment to a common plan, avoidance of accountability, meaning low standards or no standards. And then the biggest one is, you know, results, self goals over team goals. But the book goes into, you know, diving into each one of these and how, you know, what that looks like and what you need to do to work on each one of them. So what we did was if you got 5 dysfunctions of a team, and I had my staff read it as well, we got into, well, if you got 5 dysfunctions, those are 5 things that are always going to be in the way of a team. How do we combat that? So absence of trust, you know, we attacked it with, you know, you're going to go through stuff together, right? That's why we do the practices the way we do with practice.
Right.
That's why, you know, the scrimmages, the
I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons we go on the trips. That's we went down to Windermere. I'm telling you, we didn't do what we wanted to do this year, but we were a different team when we came back and had won that tournament.
Yep.
Because the trust that they built over those days in the hotel and playing, and I mean, that's second to none. I'm telling you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We actually did a trip this year. It was only 35 minutes away, but we were over at the Elks Lodge. It's crazy. On the middle of the Ocala National Forest, on the middle of nowhere, they got a 3,500 seat arena. And we were able to play the team from Pennsylvania. Yeah, it's the Elks National Convention Center. And they held a tournament there this year. We got to play a team from Pennsylvania who was really good, won the 3A state championship there last year. But biggest thing was we stayed the night and played another team the next day. But, yeah, staying in the cabins, and we turned it into a team retreat. But that's the kind of stuff, that kind of stuff. Really knowing each other, though. You know, certain places it's probably different. You know, some places still kids grow up together and they go to the same high school and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, in Florida, it's very transient. And especially our school, you know,
Cities, we notice that in ours even a little bit. You know, probably half of them don't. It's because it's just a big city. People move, you know, all the time.
Right. Absolutely. So something we did, and I took it from Bobby Kennan at UNF, University of North Florida, the five H's, to really know each other every day after practice. We started with the staff and worked our way down. So we had, 17 people to get through,
right,
and 19, including the managers. But we did the five H's of the heart, history. We want to know a little history about you. Who's your hero? What's your highlight? What's your heartache? And what's your hope?
Do they know when they have to do that?
Yeah, we would set it up and tell them, listen, tomorrow is your five H's. And there'd be some days that we didn't quite get to it because practice ran late or whatever, but we always kept it on the bottom of the practice plan and we tried to get through everybody. And it was very powerful. Some things came out, and I told guys, to talk about as much as they were comfortable talking about, obviously. But it was pretty cool. Some of the kids that never really opened up at all, really opened up and talked about themselves. And we learned some things about each other that even I didn't know about some of them. And
where'd you get the five H's from? I love that.
I got it from Bobby Kennan. He's the assistant coach at the University of North Florida. He read it's a book that he read. I don't remember what it is. I could find out for you.
Okay. I love that.
And I'll text it to you.
I'm going
to
do that. Cause
go ahead. I'm sorry.
We do some stuff too. Like we'll in the huddle, we'll do something, something good about you, something good about someone else, something good about us kind of thing. Yep. But I love the five H's because that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it shows them being vulnerable.
It does. And then, I love the hero part of it, the highlight part of it, and learn some things that guys had done, and some of it was on the court, some of it was off the court. The heartache though is really where it got real is when you're able to share something that you've went through, that's been hard for you. And like you said, that vulnerability, but then finish it up with the hope. Where's your hope? And, what are you doing this for? And what's your why? And how can we help you with that?
Right. I love that.
And then, doing stuff together, going bowling. You just said it, going on a trip. We do a Thanksgiving meal every year, where the whole team comes over. My wife cooks Thanksgiving dinner. We even get out of practice a little early for that, or don't have practice if it's depending on if the girls are early or late. Just the more we do stuff together, the more they're going to trust each other and me and each other. Like you said, our kids, high school kids, that's what they do, man. Their job is to figure out adults, and they're really good at it.
They're really good at it.
Yeah. So when they know you care about them, they'll do any. That's the simplest adage in coaching, but. If they know you, they don't care what you know until they know you care.
Yep, and they'll run through a wall for you. If they know you love them, they'll run through a wall for you.
Absolutely. And just as much stuff as we can do off the floor together and hanging out. And it is a fine line. I've had to grow through that some too because, you don't want to always let your guard down around your guys because you want to maintain the coach, leader, But, we talk a lot about that with – once we get in the gym, that's we're walking through the work zone. Once we get out of the gym,
I've talked because I've been doing these podcasts. That's what I'm missing right now, because this is where I can be more vulnerable. This is where I can connect with them, and I can't because I can, but I can't. They're not in my room. I'm not seeing them every day. I'm not saying, hey, who are you playing with this summer? Blah blah blah. All that kind of stuff. I can't do it because. They don't know what's up. I don't know what's up. We're all kind of in this limbo.
I told a coach the other day, we're all preparing for things that we're probably not going to get to do.
Right. We really are. We really are.
Yeah. So, but because that's what he asked me. He's like, well, why are you doing that? I said, well, I got to be prepared for it in case we are able to do it. Right.
I'm preparing for that we can't do it. So what I'm preparing for is what can I give the guys to stay connected?
Yeah.
What ways can, do we have to play Marco Polo on the thing? Because I officially can't do anything with my guys other than just, I can reach out to them and that, but I can't do any basketball stuff with them because we're still in school. Quote unquote.
Right.
So I'm waiting till they get that clearance so I can start, do this and let's do this and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I love that. I'm going to come back to that five dysfunctions is great. I love that. All right. Yeah. Last parting word, coach, for a young coach, for someone that's listening. Do you have any parting words? I appreciate you staying on. Holy cow. It's a long one.
Oh, my pleasure, man. I love it. It's been I appreciate you having me and, during this time, it's great to spend time talking. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I hope. But so what is it? It's May right now. May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. So 7 months. I'm hoping in 7 months I get to see you in person. I'm not sure.
That's it.
I'm not sure. Isn't that wild? I mean, you know what my AD said, because I asked him, I said, do I got to go find on conferences? Are we going to be able to, he goes, Steve, we could, you know, if you're cleared, if it's a flying thing, we always throw you in a bus. And I go, right. Oh, I never thought about that. Cause we'd be contained in a bus. It'd be a pain in the butt to drive to Florida on a bus, but.
And I hope the toilet works.
Yeah. Right?
That was
we would leave late evening because they'll sleep. You know, we would get a good 8 hours in before they wake up. They're always hungry.
Right.
But they're always hungry.
Yeah, we actually were thinking about going to the beach Saturday because they opened it up and we haven't left the house or the yard really for like 45 days because my son's high risk. Right. But we were gonna think about going to the beach and just to get out of the house and just go find a spot by ourselves, you know, and sit down. And then I said to my wife, I said, but, you know, as we're driving over there, we've got two small kids. They're going to have to go to the bathroom. Right. We're not going to get out and go to a gas station. That's going to be a nightmare. Right. And I said, then what happens if we get to the beach and somebody's got to go to the, you're not going to use the public bathroom.
Right.
You know, so.
I know that's we were talking about. My brother has a place in New Hampshire, like driving out there maybe in August and stuff. Like, I think we can get there in like 17 hours or something. We just got to get gas and we just got to have to go to the bathroom. That's it.
Right.
So it's like, can you do that safely is the question. It's like, I don't know. I'm hoping we can. All right, Coach.
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you love it and you want to support us, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial as we talk. Subscribe, like. Jump up and down. Do whatever you got to do. Those Apple podcasts mean a lot to us. I read every one of them. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.